So it's good to see you all seated now. The opening talk of our assembly today is entitled, Imitate What is Good. Well, who sets the standard for what is good? And what is involved in imitating what is good? Well, we invite you to listen carefully to our circuit overseer, Brother Nathan Garlock, as he answers these questions.
Well, to begin, it's so wonderful to see all of you here in attendance. And for some, it wasn't an easy trip. You know, you had to come all the way from far-flung places like Pinoca and Wainwright and Bruce, and everywhere else in between. And we're just delighted to have you here at our 2016 Circuit Assembly with the theme, Imitate Jehovah. And if you forget what the theme is, well, there it is, right up there. So you can always look up. That's what we're talking about. And we're going to talk about this throughout the whole day, how we can imitate Jehovah. Now, if you look in your program, you'll notice that this first talk is entitled, Imitate What is Good. In fact, you just sang about that quality in our opening song. So what's the connection between imitating Jehovah and imitating this quality of goodness? Well, to begin, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It's our theme scripture for the day. In fact, you might even want to put a marker there, because I think throughout our day we're going to kind of come back to this chapter a bit. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, here's where our theme was taken from. It says, therefore, become imitators of God as beloved children. So this verse, not only does it have our theme, you know, become an imitator of Jehovah, but it even has an illustration. It says, as beloved children. That's a good illustration, because isn't it true that children tend to imitate their parents? Is it really possible for us to imitate our Heavenly Father, Jehovah? Well, first of all, probably wouldn't encourage us to try if it wasn't possible, and it does encourage us to imitate God. And we know way back in the book of Genesis, right at the very beginning in chapter 1, that man was made in God's image. So that means we were created with the capacity to imitate Jehovah's beautiful qualities. And that's a really important thought with regard to imitating Jehovah, that it's about imitating his qualities. Because when we think about imitation, we tend to think about physical imitation, don't we? Like, think about maybe, well, here's an example. A few years ago, there was a movie about a famous chef, Julia Childs. Now, Julia Childs, she was famous not only for her cooking, but even just for the way she did things, the way she spoke, the way she was in front of the camera. So a very famous actress won the role of imitating Julia Childs. You know the chef, you know, she says, hello, she's that chef. As soon as you hear that, oh yes, I know who it is. Well, this actress spent a long time studying this famous chef, Julia Childs. And when it came time for the movie, she nailed it. She imitated every, you know, the way she walked, the way she talked. But here's the interesting thing. You know, after all that study and imitation, do you know what that actress still couldn't do? She couldn't cook after that movie. So imagine, there she is trying to imitate a famous chef. She's famous because she cooks. She won praise for the way she was able to imitate her, and yet she couldn't cook. Imitating Jehovah is deeper than just imitating a walk or the way someone talks. In fact, it's impossible if that's what you focus on with Jehovah, because Jehovah's a spirit. We can't imitate physical things about him. So imitating Jehovah means we go deeper. It means we get to know his thinking. We imitate his beautiful qualities. Well, when you think about these qualities that Jehovah God has, the first one we want to focus on is goodness. Now, remember when someone tried to call Jesus good teacher. Right away, he took exception to that. He said, why do you call me good? There's one who's good, and that's God. Now, was Jesus trying to say that he wasn't good or that other people couldn't be good? No, he wasn't saying that. Jesus was simply indicating that there's only one person who sets the standard for what's good, and that person is Jehovah God. So it's really worth getting to know Jehovah and imitating him, because when we imitate Jehovah, the results in our life are not just that we do good, but it brings wonderful benefits. It's worth imitating Jehovah because the results are good. Well, when you think about imitating Jehovah, how can we do it? Well, just like the actress imitating the chef, it starts with studying who we're trying to imitate. So we have to study Jehovah God. How do you do that? Let's turn to a really interesting verse in 3 John 11. Because, you know, how do you imitate, or how do you even study someone that you can't see? 3 John 11 gives us a clue. So 3 John 11, and it is talking about imitation. It says, beloved one, do not imitate what is bad, but imitate what is good. The one who does good originates with God. The one who does bad has not seen God. Now, first of all, if you do good, where's that coming from? Well, it's because you're imitating Jehovah. But did you notice one who does bad, it says, has not seen God. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute, what do you mean not seen? Nobody can see God. So what does it mean, the one who does bad hasn't seen God? Well, have you ever seen a young child, maybe 2-3 years old, and they want to play hide and seek with you? So now when you're that age, you know, so young, maybe you've seen young kids do this. So they want you to not be able to find them. So what do? They cover their eyes. And it's kind of cute, right? Because, you know, you're right there. But in the mind of the two-year-old, they're thinking, you know, if I cover my eyes, if I can't see you, probably you can't see me. And we say, oh, isn't that sweet? Now, for 2 or 3, it's okay. If they're 20 doing that, there's a problem, right? But at that young age, that's the reasoning. If I can't see them, if I cover my eyes, they can't see me. You know, for people in the world, it's very similar to that reasoning. People in the world choose to cover their eyes to the evidence that there's a creator. And they figure, if I don't see God, then he doesn't see me. And then they go ahead and conduct themselves in a bad way. And that's why it says in 3 John that if you do bad things, you haven't seen God. You're viewing it as if he doesn't exist. So what about those who do good? Well, you know, if you're about to make a big decision and you think to yourself, what is God's will in this matter? Right there, you're showing that you see God, not physically, but you're thinking about his feelings and what he wants. You see God in your life before making a decision. And then after you do that, what does Jehovah do? He blesses you. Maybe he answers a prayer. And, well, there you have it. You've seen God in your life. Those who do good, it's like they see God. Not physically, but spiritually. With the heart of understanding, we can see God in that way. What would a spiritual person, what would they maybe pray for? And it's really important to maintain spirituality. That's why study, prayer, Bible reading with meditation, it helps us to see God. If you stop doing those things, you end up being like the two-year-old. You do not see God in your life, and you live accordingly. So let's turn to Psalm 119 and see what a spiritual person might pray about. So Psalm 119, verse 68. Psalm 119, verse 68. And again, remember, this quality of goodness is what we're really focusing in on. So Psalm 119, verse 68 says, you are good, and your works are good. Teach me your regulations. So a spiritual person wants to know Jehovah's regulations, so they might pray about that. But did you notice the first part of the verse? See, a spiritual person acknowledges that Jehovah is good. So what does that mean, Jehovah is good? What is goodness? You know, sometimes in English, we don't really understand the sense of that word. Because the meaning of the word, if you look in the Insight volume, the meaning of the word goodness is moral excellence. That's the literal meaning of goodness. And yet, how many times has someone asked you, hey, how you doing? And you say, I'm good. I'm morally excellent today. You know? So right there, we maybe don't have, what we maybe want to say is, I'm fine. You know, to illustrate the difference, it's like a surgeon. You know, a skilled surgeon in an operating room, he's a fine surgeon. He does his work well. But if he's cheating on his wife with one of the nurses, he is not a good surgeon because he's not morally excellent. So we get the idea what goodness is. It's moral excellence. Now, what qualities does that encompass? You know, Moses was somebody that wanted to actually see God. Now, Jehovah told him he couldn't, but Jehovah said, you will get to see something. Let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 33 and 34. So if you scan your eyes in chapter 33, so just to give a bit of a context to this account, you know, in verse 18, Moses is asking to see Jehovah's glory, see his face. Verse 20, Jehovah says, you can't see my face. Nobody can see me and live. But in verse 19, what does Jehovah say he would see? He said, I will make all my goodness pass before your face. So what did that mean? Well, take a look in chapter 34, verse 6. It says, Jehovah was passing before him and declaring, Jehovah, Jehovah, a God merciful and compassionate, slow to anger and abundant in loyal love and truth, showing loyal love to thousands, pardoning error and transgression and sin. But he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, bringing punishment for the error of fathers upon sons and upon grandsons, upon the third generation and upon the fourth generation. Now, at the end of that verse, you might think, well, that doesn't sound good. That's not morally excellent to punish the grandchildren for things grandpa did. But that's not really what the verse means. What it's saying is that, you know, if grandpa was a bad guy and he passed on those bad traits and qualities, and now his kids are doing bad things and their kids are doing bad things, Jehovah's going to punish them all because he's so good that he has nothing to do with what's bad. So what does goodness encompass? All those beautiful qualities that you just read in verse 6 and 7. Slow to anger, loyal love, merciful, compassionate, forgiving. What's the lesson about all this? Well, if you're going to imitate Jehovah, you're going to do good things. But what does that mean? It means imitating Jehovah's goodness in all of these wide range of qualities. And today's assembly program is going to help us to do just that. To get to know Jehovah's goodness and to be able to imitate it in real ways in our life. In fact, if you take a look at your program, you're going to notice we have a symposium just coming up on how we can imitate Jehovah more fully in our family. Then after the song, how can we imitate Jehovah in our ministry? This afternoon, we're going to learn how we can be more like Jehovah in many other very important ways. And as you go through the program, you may find things where you say, you know what? I've got to do a little better in imitating Jehovah in this way. Well, by all means, brothers, let that heart open wide and go ahead and make sure that we take a note of that so we can apply it. In the program itself, you'll see 6 review questions at the end. So take a look for the answers as the day's program goes. And right now we're going to answer question number 1. Do you see it there? Why should we strive to imitate Jehovah? And what's needed in order to do that? Well, the 2 scriptures are shown there in the program that we read in our talk. But here's the answer. Jehovah invites us to imitate him. So that's a good reason. Jehovah invites us to imitate him. Doing so will result in the best way of life. In order to imitate Jehovah, we need to get to know him well and see him with our eyes of understanding. So in order to imitate Jehovah, we need to get to know him well and see him with our eyes of understanding. So friends, imitate what's good. In order to do that, we need to learn God's commands, study carefully Jehovah's beautiful, outstanding qualities. And today we're going to do just that. So may all of us benefit and enjoy our Imitate Jehovah Circuit Assembly, and may it help each and every one of us to be able to imitate what is good.
Thank you so much, Brother Garlock.